That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Day in 1980, John Lennon was shot and killed.
Oh, that's the 8th of December.
43 years ago. I love this. This is a quick steal. I see this every year. Every year on the anniversary of his death, the National Trust leave the bedroom light on in John's childhood home all night.
In Liverpool.
It shows, I guess that's a, that might be a tourist attraction. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. What if somebody's house? And somebody lived in that room.
Yeah.
I got to sleep in another room every night.
Once a year.
I don't, because it says the National Trust, so they must, it must be a
historic building.
It must be somebody must not live there, because it's just a regular house in Liverpool, it looks like here, you know.
Did you see that carpool karaoke that was done with Paul McCartney when he goes to his childhood home and there's like a piano in there? This lady's like blown away.
Well, she's
like some sort of like
before.
Museum. He like walks in and like sits down and plays the piano.
That's cool.
It was incredible.
That's cool. Yeah. I just think it'd be funny though. I'm sure it wasn't a trust the whole time. You know, maybe it was. The Beatles are obviously pretty famous.
Yeah, it looks like John Lennon's childhood house is a. There are guided tours, and it's a.
Got it. All right.
It's an attraction.
We gotta leave the light on the night upstairs. Oh, that's right. You know.
It's on the National Historic Registry or whatever the English equivalent is.
Yeah. You ain't coming back with presents, Nick.
Leave some hash brownies on the kitchen table for John Lennon.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not as cool. It's not as cool as living in a house where an axe murder happened for 60 years.
Exactly.
That's where they leave the shed light on.
Right.
That still blows my mind.
Since we're trying to get Dale started on mushrooms here.
Wait,
seems like
we had serious talk.
The guy's completely sober now, all of a sudden, Todd. Now, I'll try shrooms. I'll try shrooms.
Todd is an anti-sponsor.
He's like, best thing I've ever done. He's like, well, there's got to be something you
can
try.
I would think, I don't know how. Like, I got a whole bunch of guys I went to school with, too, that were still friends. So I know what it's like to have a bunch of high school friends you're still tight with. And they all, none of them quit drinking. A couple of them probably should have by now, but they haven't. But I, when we're together, we drink a lot of booze. You're right, a lot of beer and reminisce and blah, blah, blah. So when you go on that hunting trip, how tough is that for you, especially the first year?
The first year,
all your buddies getting drunk, man.
I started smoking cigarettes again. I go out and smoke cigarettes for the weekend.
You had to get something going in your system, right?
So we're standing on a boat, and we're in the middle of a lake, and my buddy Jeff goes, hey, man, you can't smoke on the boat. And I go, this is all I got. This is it. So you can either watch me smoke this cigarette, or we're all going to swim to shore.
You next time, their drunk ass should be watching you do shrooms. Now you want to do it, you know.
Well, they're using psilocybin in medicine a lot now.
And psilocybin?
That's the active ingredient.
I'm going to have to take you with me when we do this.
Oh, you're talking to your guy.
This is my new sponsor.
This is from KETV Newswatch 7, an Omaha doctor spearheading a groundbreaking study of psilocybin, magic mushrooms, and medicine at UNMC's Science Cafe Tuesday night. The associate professor explained what outcomes they're seeing and who they're trying to help. Doing better by people who are sick. Dr. Lou Lucas said she volunteered for Johns Hopkins' study a decade ago. She was part of the first study using psychedelics to help treat stress related to cancer. People who have cancer are so often caught up in the fight, they don't recognize they're actually barely breathing because they're so nervous, she told the crowd. Relief that we've never seen before. We get results that we've never seen before. Those results are why she continues the research. And why she brought it up to the Metro. Right now, she's doing a small trial of people who have pancreatic cancer, and the study is the first of its kind in the Midwest. Cancer patients, one dose, And I don't know how many grams that is, what one dose is.
Yeah.
Seems to do a remarkable amount of good because the studies are still new. There might be a more optimal combination, but one dose is often enough to give people months or years worth of relief because it rewires your brain a little bit.
Wow.
There's always somebody against that crap because everybody just wants you to fill you with the artificial pills and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Booze.
Yeah, but is there a way that they can right. assure you that the bad wiring in your brain that works well for you doesn't get rewired?
Like, can you imagine Dale's bad wiring?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, some of that stuff that's beneficial.
He grabs a hammer, starts beating everything inside.
I don't want to ruin my career. Dale took 1 gram and he's not funny no more.
Yeah.
He's happy, but he ain't funny.
He's on Wall Street.
I don't have any studies, but I have anecdotal evidence from friends who do the microdosing, and they claim that it helps them.
Microdosing?
Yeah. You don't even feel. You know, it's like you're eating maybe a tenth of a gram, so it won't affect you. You wouldn't
all
feel
right.
it.
I'm an addict. We're not doing this.
But your brain.
He wants the fun part of it,
Come
Todd.
On. I want to talk to Hendrix and Einstein at the same time.
Yeah, well, then you just
and they
need
want
a bigger
talk
dose.
To you. Yeah. That's an interesting choice, those two together, right? You know, one's really smart, one's got good tunes, right?
Right. I want to hitchhike with 7 thumbs.
There you go. Yeah, he wants something crazy, man.
See, this is why. I am not the candidate to do this.
Yeah, it might not be
this will help
idea,
people.
But,
yeah.
No, the treatment thing, the object is not to get high.
Oh,
the
yeah. See, that's where
see,
I would.
What can help your brain
high?
Boring.
Man, he quit booze. He doesn't like weed.
That's what I would screw up.
Yeah. But again, I would be worried about the things in your brain that make you who you are and able to do what, you know.
Is there any anecdotal evidence or factual evidence of people's personality completely changing? I'm not talking about Sid Barrett and acid because that's different. He went nuts. I get it.
Well, that was a lot of
shrooms.
Acid. But like all of our brains are broken in a certain way that allows us to be good at this.
True.
You know, and I don't want that to go away.
No, you're doing.
No, but I have not heard of any permanent damage to one's brain from doing mushrooms.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about damage. I'm just saying, you know, you say you use the term rewiring your brain. Sometimes it might get into the wiring that I want to keep. How do you assure that won't happen?
Well, Todd's going to be a test case. He's really into it now.
I know. It's a new thing for him. Yeah.
Well, it's no different than antidepressants. Antidepressants rewire people's brains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Our buddy Augie Smith. Remember, Augie was afraid. He was on antidepressants before he
was afraid he would lose his edge.
Didn't he say that he did? For a while, he felt like he did. He kind of was not as funny.
I was nervous when they put me on Zoloft and Wellbutrin, and then they found out Wellbutrin was to quit smoking, and it wasn't even for that stuff. And then I went to the doc, and I go, hey, man, I don't like all this. I'm working out, and I'm gaining weight. And he goes, we got a pill to help you gain weight. And I go, okay. And then I walked out. And that's probably what led to drinking. Jason. But, yeah, I totally get that. That rewires everything.
Right. The thing that fried my brain the most was the Chantix. I took the stop smoking Chantix drug and ended up getting horrible panic attacks from it.
He was a wreck for like 3 years.
Yep. Yep.
It's fun to be around.
He's normal now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind being rewired if I could just be like content for half an hour. Feel okay with everything around you. Be like, oh, cool. That was nice.
Everything's good for about a half hour.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Remember that 30 minutes?
Any problems, right? Yeah. I got it.
Just like the Snow White effect, have like a bird land on your shoulder and yeah. a rabbit walk up and go, hey, everything's going to be okay. Right.
Then you hit it with a hammer.
Isn't that kind of
Yeah, maybe for me. Well,
I'm never going to be able to say rabbit in this room again.
No, I never again, man.
Ever again.
Nope. You can remember that forever.
You
man.
Hit the yeah. cart, Roger Rabbit. Roger Rabbit in the head with a hammer.
10-year-old just killing rabbits behind the trailer.
Yeah, never mind, it was normal. For Easter dinner.
Again, none of this will be said at the Funny Bone.
No. Your rabbit lovers head out there tonight.
You're killing the show,
bring
Dale.
Bring your kids.
Although I guess we eat turkey on Thanksgiving, and turkey is basically the mascot of that holiday. So, I mean.
Yeah, well, it's the mascot for that reason, though. Yeah. It's because we eat it, right. Yeah.
That's true.
You don't eat Peter Cottontail on Easter, you know.
I mean,
well, except at
you
the
do
Jones
at Dale's house.
House.
Right. Except the Joneses.
At the Joneses, you do.
Do you have keep reindeer on Christmas,
keep it up
too?
With the Joneses, right.
Yeah, that's why the skirt was under the trailer to hide all the corpses.
Lots of bones.
Bunny corpses.
Why are all these chocolate Easter eggs under? Shut up, Dale.
You ever drive past the old homestead that still exists?
Oh, yeah. It looks depressing.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
It had really nice
trees. It reminds you where you came from, though, you know?
It yeah. does. It does. Now it looks like it's just a, I don't know. When you live there, you don't see it.
Well, where's
right
the hometown?
Go, yeah. It was Salem, Illinois, southern part of Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Near Kentucky, near that part, that southern. Yeah, Carbondale.
Southern yeah, that's pretty rural, isn't it, southern Illinois?
Yeah, it yeah. is. Yeah. It's and
how big
we
a
were,
town was it? How big a town was it?
At the time, I think 6,500 or something.
What was
maybe it's 7,000.
What was in your graduating class?
100 people. 120, maybe?
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, we called that a big town.
Yeah. Well, for Puss to be a big town.
We had more than one red light. We thought we were big stuff.
Right. You were.
We had a super Walmart.
Yeah. Ooh.
Years later. Years later. Yeah. We got one now. Okay. But right. but we had to drive it to St.
When did you get
Louis.
Out of that place? You got out of that when you were 18 or 22? Or just, how long did
19?
You stay there?
I was out of there at 19.
Then you went to L.A.? Went to L.A. right away?
I went to Florida and lived in Orlando for a while and delivered vending machines with my uncle.
So you didn't go down there to do comedy right away? You went out
to I didn't start stand-up till we moved to Nashville. And that
how
was,
old were you then?
I was 22.
Okay.
Yeah, 22.
Did you, I mean, you were a funny guy, so did you walk up on stage and decide to do it then as an amateur night or what?
I did go to amateur, but I watched for like a month, and then I wrote down what I thought was funny, was 10 minutes of material, and found out I had about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Nick, how about that?
Yeah.
Did you kill?
My soul. No, I got one laugh that night because I said, well, I effed that joke up, and that got a laugh.
Got it.
And then I ran off stage and grabbed a complete stranger and went, that was great, because it felt like 200 people laugh at once.
Right,
and was enough to give me the bug. And they looked at me like I was insane.
Yeah.
And I was back. I was hooked.
So all the different places that you lived, where do your, if you have any, sports allegiances lie?
Who's that, a sports guy?
Oh, I'm not a sports.
You're not a sports guy.
No, I've never been a sports guy.
You're never a sports guy, man.
The most fun I ever had of sports, I went to a Wrigley Field game. At that's how sports I am.
I went to a Wrigley Field game. I saw this.
That's enough.
I'm
going to a Wrigley Field game.
My Lord, I'm a moron. This is why man cards aren't laminated anymore, so they can just take mine and cut it up.
How long were you in L.A.?
I was 6 years.
Okay. Did you like it?
Yes, I did. I lived. Yeah. I was on the ocean in Redondo Beach. It was gorgeous.
Oh man, that's cool.
Yeah, I loved it there. And it was quiet at night. During the day, you'd hear people fighting over parking spots. But at night, it was nice. And I love that. I was next to Comedy and Magic Club, so I could go, you know, it was 2 miles away, so I could go down there.
That was your place?
Out.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That was
who'd you hang out with then? Guys we know? Names we know?
Augie goes down there all the time.
Oh, yeah, I know. And when you were younger, though, who were your summer friends down there?
In
that,
L.A.?
That we would know. Who's your most famous friend in your phone?
Blake Clark.
Okay. All right.
Waterboy.
Got
Mark
it.
Gross.
Oh, okay.
Mark Gross is in my phone.
Yeah, well, we know Mark.
Yeah. that's not impressive.
Waterboy, I got it. All right, cool. Dale Jones.
This is the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.